This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom!
Time isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.
We're going in. Hey, yo. This is not Grant. This is Lerato filling in for Grant with Chetsa. I have a couple of guests here. But first, before we start, I want us to speak about this video. This has been driving the internet absolutely crazy. Have you guys seen it? Wade, SJ, tell us, what do you think of this video?
Absolutely crazy. I mean, Childish Gambino is a powerhouse.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Come closer. Don't be shy. Like, the concept, the way it's shot, the message behind it, everything about it is so powerful, right?
Yeah.
It's actually like more of a performance art piece, and that's what makes it so brilliant. Like, it's even if you put that on mute, it's absolutely insane.
It still looks brilliant, right? Yeah. It speaks to the issues it's supposed to, and all the nuances as well. It's so subtle and so clever. Mm. Wow, well done, Childish Gambino. Hi, Chetsa, what's up?
Nothing much. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Everyone is good. Okay, should we start?
You enjoyed the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome everyone to the
G-G-G-Man. I did, and I told them that we are not Grant, but hey.
Yeah, we're not Grant. Grant is busy doing advertising.
Yes.
All right, cool. So I think we're going to start off with what's happened in advertising this past week. Just a quick recap.
Nice.
Before we get into our interesting guest.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they're as interesting as I think they are. I'm kidding.
No pressure, guys. So, what have you seen this week that's been interesting?
Odd Number just picked up Wimpy. They've been appointed the lead agency. There's some exciting news in the industry.
Yeah, I saw that. Wimpy is a big one. And they went against the big guns,
The big boys, King James, Gray, and the current incumbent, FCB.
Jeez, guys. Yeah.
Well done. Okay. Shout out to Swoo.
Hello,
everybody there in Tando.
And Vanessa.
We see you. And Vanessa. All right, cool. What's next?
What do you think? Avatar also just got H&M on the African continent. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, cool. I will. It's the first locally produced by a local entity campaign rollout for H&M.
Nice.
Done by Avatar. It launched officially the TVC, I think, this week. Mm. Or last week.
Mm.
Yesterday. Yeah. So that was an exciting shoot. Interesting times. So hopefully we'll get to do more work. Mm. So shout out to H&M and Avatar, all the people that made it
happen.
Shout
out. You know what? Like,
H&M looks stunning.
Yeah. It does, right? And H&M has been so controversial
yes,
in our market.
We're trying to rectify that. That's why.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I think
there couldn't
be a better agency to help rectify this.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out to Avatar. Woo-hoo! Shout out.
What else is going on? I saw that there's 7 SA judges going to Cannes.
Yeah, tell us a little about that. You saw that.
I saw Tate. What's his name? Tatenum. Jason. What's his name? Jason Silom. I can't even pronounce his surname, but he's from VML. And then for direct marketing, we've got Neo Sekgola from FCB going on.
Nice one, Neo.
Design category, we've got Vumile going through from
Vooms.
VM. Yeah.
Yep.
Brand experience would be Matt Ross. Then there's Mulifitulo, obviously, for radio.
For radio. Goes without saying.
Wayne Bishop for media and film would be George Lowe from TBWA. So well done,
congrats,
guys. Represent out there, yeah?
Yep.
Cool.
And anything else you'd like to touch on?
No, I think I'll be controversial a little bit later. Okay. So maybe we should start with our guests, eh?
Yes, please introduce yourselves.
Yes, gentlemen.
How's it? My name is SJ. I'm a creative director at Grid Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger by nature. And yeah, that's
yep.
me.
I'm Wade from Grid as well. Designer at Grid, been at Grid 3 years, absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Do the whole thing, yeah.
All right, cool. While we've got you here, maybe tell us a little background on yourself. I don't know who wants to go first.
Cool.
SJ?
Yeah, cool. I've been in the industry about 10 years now. Started way back in the day at Yellowwood when they stole the design.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with the legendary Richard Stone. From there, I went to X Factor. Spent 2.5 years there. From there, went to Joe Public. Tried my hand at a bit of advertising, bit of above the line stuff, and then the branding.
Wasn't your cup of tea?
I loved it, but it's one of those things like I like it, but I know my heart's in branding.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
Then got a call from Grid Worldwide one day, said, "You want to come for a chat?" I said, "Yeah, sure, why not?"
And you've never looked back.
But went into the interview with Nathan, and Adam, I think, was also in there. And the interview ended with Nathan going, "We'll see you next month." I said, "No, no, I'll think about it." He goes, "No,
we'll see."
And here I am.
Cool.
Yeah.
And yourself, Wade?
Yeah, so I'm currently 24. Started at Grid.
You're very young.
So young.
So young.
The children are
so innocent.
Listen to the kids.
I long for the vigor of youth.
I finished varsity at UJ, studied communication design, absolutely loved it. Very lucky to get into Grid straight after. Also been at Grid 3 years, done some incredible stuff, worked with some incredible clients and people. Shout out to the studio.
Shout out to the studio.
And he's only been voted the #1 designer in the country.
Only.
Tell us about that.
Wow. When did that happen?
You never hear this from his mouth.
Yes,
yeah, we have.
Don't be shy now.
No, it's cool. So it's a Lurie's sort of ranking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The agency and Grid specifically had a very good year at Lurie's last year. How the ranking sort of works is they tally your points up based on awards that you've won. So
yeah,
like Grand Prix is X amount, gold is
look
X amount.
Look at you.
This
look
X
at
amount.
You.
You say as matter of fact.
Yeah. I know, right? Like,
no.
That's what
and
he
I have
does.
To shout out to. No, I have to.
It's his humility that makes him so charming.
We love it.
I have to shout out Yanni and the whole design studio, creative directors, everyone. It's like Paulie, everyone. Yeah, so it was basically a collation of all the.
So
awards.
Africa's top designer
and Middle East, don't forget the Middle
and
East
and Middle East.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very crazy. It's
how does it make you feel?
Yeah, at this age, I mean, like, what more can we expect from you if you're 24 and you're winning the best designer now?
You know, for me, it's important, I think, because I take design very seriously. I absolutely love design, only wanted to be a designer, only wanted to work at Grid type thing.
Yeah,
and it was definitely something. I mean, there's guys in the studio like Yanni, for example, who has been #1 designer, and I mean, when I heard Nate talk about it, it's like, Yanni, you know, you're the #1 designer,
so you knocked him off.
No. Yanni is the Lurie king. He's like #3 creative director. He's not even creative director. #2. He's like ranked on everything, yeah, basically.
And we do call him the Lurie king.
Lurie king.
He's got the formula.
Yeah, look, it's an incredible honor and all that stuff, I think, to do it this young. It's only because we have great clients and great leadership and great, you know, to be young.
To be young,
I think, and to be able to work on that kind of caliber of clients with that much sort of freedom, I think.
When you say you've always wanted to be a designer, how far back does that go?
So my dad's actually a designer.
Oh wow, so it runs in the family.
Yeah, it does. I have aunts.
So is he proud of you?
I have, yeah. I think he is. I have aunts and uncles in the industry. And
really?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So
it wasn't an issue like for most people going into the creative field.
Oh no, not at all.
Folks are like, you gotta be a doctor, you gotta be a lawyer.
Not anymore.
No,
that's SJ.
Yeah.
SJ seems to identify with it. Tell us about that.
3 years of law before I went into design.
What?
Law?
Yeah.
So in those 3 years, actually, did you touch anything on design, or you just, was it their hobby? You just left it completely?
Yeah, I just drew and did some stuff on the computer here and there. And after each year of studying, I went to my dad and went, "This is not for me." And my dad, an attorney.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
okay.
No, just take another year.
Like the 2 years.
Exactly.
This went on for 3 years, and at the end of the third year, I was like, "Fuck it, I can't. I'm out. Sorry."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I went, "I don't know."
So did you go to a school, or did you just like jump into an agency as an intern?
No, I went to university, but one of my friends one day said, "Dude, why didn't you study design?" And I was like, "Yes, of course.
Light bulb moment.
Design?
Yeah.
and went to UJ and yeah, did my 3 years there.
Did you struggle in the beginning because you'd never really done design, or you just took to it like a fish to water?
I did struggle a bit because everyone in my class like had studied art and had the whole background.
You're playing catch up.
And I was like, what do you mean vector? What is
that? Which is really the complete opposite of me. Like my dad had all the software at home. I'd learned how to design when I was in high school, just like messing around with stuff with my friends and, you know, do the whole thing. So I was very much knew what I was getting into. Mm. I mean, I remember my dad used to work at YNR a while, and I used to go in and
so who your daddy be?
My dad is Jock Nithami.
Who's your dad? He's your pa.
He's your pa.
That's my pa, yeah. Yeah, so it's just been it's been amazing since then.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
So guys, tell us, you say you went to Coachella.
Oh man.
How did that come about? Like before we actually talk about Coachella.
I wanna know like designers going to Coachella.
What did you go there for?
Yeah, just start at
the beginning. Just start at the beginning. How did it
The idea come about? Like we are going to Coachella.
Well, Grid has this thing called G Live and
another plug. Yes.
And
G. There's gonna be a lot of plugs on this. Like,
oh yeah.
Shout out to Grid again. They literally
sent us. So they got G Insights, which is on Instagram. Wade will give you the handle, I'm sure. And what we do is we generally just share like cool stuff happening in the industry or outside the industry that might change the way we look at things, and we share it on a group and chat about it. And turns out at the end of the year, at the year-end function, they announced, by the way, we were actually running a competition.
Oh my god.
Wade and Esther shared the most and the most relevant posts. So,
oh, look at you guys.
We were just bugging people on Sundays.
And it's like, really, you don't expect anything big to come of that. I mean, we live on the internet. I live on the internet. Like, I mean, we started off with This Is America. That's something that would go on the group. It's like, hey guys, this is what we're talking about.
It was discussed this week in Grid. Mm-hmm.
And then that group sort of feeds into G Live, which is like an open discussion we have at I think Wednesday mornings at Grid. It's like a whole thing, and we share stuff. So yeah, it was at the year in function, and I was like, yo guys, you're gonna go to Coachella.
Were you excited?
It was about 4 days of coming into work and going, dude, we really go to Coachella.
No, it was unreal. And then so we did about 3 days in LA before that. So 3 days in LA, then we took
all the tourist boxes.
Tell us about LA. What are the tourist boxes?
LA is amazing.
Before the whole summing up of the trip and what inspired you, what you got out of it, let's just tell us the journey. Just take us through it. LA, let's start in LA.
So we had to go to In-N-Out Burger. It's like iconic sort of LA burger spot. It was okay. It wasn't so bad.
It's dreadful.
The food in America is not so great, guys.
It's really not.
No, it's overrated.
At one stage, I was like, can I just get a bloody salad?
I know. A friend of mine was, craving chicken wings in America. Like, they just don't get them right. They don't get them right. All right,
cool.
All right. So, food?
Food, we sort of walked around, did a lot of walking, went to some cool LA spots. We went out to this place the one night in Koreatown, it's called Lock and Key. Insane vibe, really good vibe.
The only thing we remember of that night is what is recorded on my GoPro.
Like, I was holding the GoPro, then someone was buying us drinks because we're South African. We're like, what's that?
How much tequila was had?
How many liters?
We only paid for $40. The rest, everyone else paid for us. Because genuinely, the moment they hear the accent, they're like, where are you from?
Isn't it a good thing to feel exotic when you travel?
It is, really.
Like, no, we're from South Africa, and dollars to donuts. 9 times out of 10, we get asked, like, do the lions really roam among the houses?
Of course!
In 21st century.
We need to get to a shot.
All right, cool. That was LA?
LA, yeah, dude. I went to Supreme, did all my high piece things.
I see you. Got your off-white on, your Supreme cap.
I was on radio, so I'm like, no one will actually see, but it's fine. and then, what did we do in LA? We did so much cool stuff.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Rodeo Drive.
We just walked Rodeo Drive. I was like, no, can't buy there.
Red Light District, maybe.
I didn't even know that was there.
Is it?
Damn it.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
What do you know that we don't know?
We did downtown LA for 2 nights. We did Hollywood for 1 night, and then Coachella. Then back when we did Venice.
Venice Beach.
Yeah.
It's like a movie. All of this is like a movie, man. It's like Venice is
surreal.
But
not like the movies you see on TV. It's
the guy in the song.
Is it even better? Skates.
No, it's different. Way different. Like what they don't show you in the Hollywood movies is all the homeless people and all that.
LA, it's actually quite wild how many homeless people and stuff it is. I mean, we were in downtown LA for 2 nights. And guys were telling me, wait, you're living in downtown LA. Apparently, like a year ago, it was just
Hobotown.
Like, yeah, like crazy.
Hobo City.
Yeah, yeah.
For real.
It, really.
Hoboville.
It's like, you're glamorizing poverty. Hoboville.
We asked one of our Uber drivers about it, and he said, no, all the homeless people come here because of the weather.
Yeah, it's always hot. It's warm. Makes sense.
Like, if you are going to be homeless, it's a beautiful place to be homeless in Venice.
Nice. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Okay, no, I would.
All right, let's get into Coachella itself, the experience. Is it as amazing as everyone makes it out to be?
Did you guys dress up? This is what I want to know.
So the girls dress up or dress down.
Whatever it is.
Undress up.
Undress up. Or,
so you had a good time.
It's you know, it's a completely different scale of any sort of South African music festival. I mean, we've been to Kopi Kopi and we did the whole thing. And it feels like a lot of people. 160,000 people.
That's at Coachella. Insane.
Yeah. And everyone's having a good time.
Everyone's having a good time. It's literally a different mindset. Like, and it's actually so well organized for that amount of people. I mean, you feel how many people there are, but it's like you can't really fathom.
Things run smoothly.
It's surprisingly smooth. Yeah, it's like
looking at that and looking at every other concert in South Africa I've ever been to, like
nothing compares.
You can't compare. Like going to the bar, for instance, the longest we waited for a drink was 5 minutes.
Yeah,
with
160,000 people. quick. I struggled in the club.
Exactly. It was quick. The bathrooms were clean. The bars were well. If the schedule said 8:50, 8:17 and 30 seconds, this band is coming up. 8:17 and 30 seconds.
Except there's Migos. No waiting.
Except Migos.
Of course, like, of course, Migos.
Half an
the
hour.
Divas.
I was so far away because you actually can't get into the... You can't be close. It's impossible.
Went to like, the wrong bands, bro.
Yeah, well. So I was doing all the hip-hop stuff. Eshe was doing all the rock sort of
Everyone
stuff.
Went to the hip-hop stages, so all the rock stages were open. I literally walked right through to the front.
Any highlights for you two?
Flappers Zombies for me, man. Absolutely unbelievable. Flappers was amazing. Brockhampton was amazing. Migos was amazing. It's like a whole lot of...
Did you just see the hip-hop acts?
I did see some...
Did you do a cross-pollination?
Did you see some rock stuff? Yeah. See some rock stuff.
And for you, SJ? Did you see any hip-hop stuff or you just focused on rock?
I loved the hip-hop. I love hip-hop overall. But, like, Flappers Zombies was insane because of the crowd mostly. Like, I haven't been in the mosh pit since I was 18.
Mosh pit.
Very dangerous.
Does that word still exist?
I was in for two songs and I was like, my hip, I'm out. My knee, my leg.
And, you know, next thing you know, you're in the thick of things. I'm being, like, pushed around. Yeah. But it was, like, literally the best sort of performance.
Like, for me, it was... Alt-J was one of my highlights, and their stage show was just insane. And just as a childhood, like, tick box for me, a perfect circle, like seeing them live. I know I'm never going to see them in South Africa, so that for me was a manly tear moment.
Okay. And we're going to get hell if we don't speak about Beyonce as well.
Yeah, yes.
Have to.
I actually was waiting for you guys to ignore her.
No.
Did you see her performance or you?
We saw some of it. And again, I say 160,000 people
to see her. Yeah.
Like, people were camping out. So, like, Tyler the Creator, for example, was playing, but he was at the same stage as Beyonce, which is, I mean, the scales are very different. I love Tyler. His set design, all that stuff, insane. But you can't have, there's not that many people that like Tyler at this huge stage. Mm. So the vibe was a bit down for Tyler. But
because people went there.
They're waiting for Beyonce. Yeah. The other thing is, everything's so. The schedules are so like lined tight. Up and tight that they assume that okay, Alt-J is playing, so we're gonna put Post Malone on because people listen to Post Malone don't listen to Alt-J, you know, which is not, and it's a lot of walking
up
and down. It's again 160,000 people. Huge.
It's insane. I can't imagine that.
Yeah,
like you don't feel it throughout the day. Like at the smaller stages, I think the smaller shows were better planned and scheduled because the smaller shows, you know, tiny little crowds,
niche crowds,
not that bad, 160,000 people. Then the sun sets and Beyonce comes on the main stage and you're like a kilometer away from the stage.
A kilometer.
Sea of people.
Zoom in on your phone. I'm like trying to post stuff. It's just like terrible quality because you're so far away. But she's amazing. She's an insane performer. We probably have some.
Any takeouts that inspired like what you do like as designers?
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Yeah.
Outside the music and the whole festival vibe.
What did you guys take away? What was visually appealing? What was visually that you're going to take back?
You know, brand presence was super important. I mean, like HP had a huge sort of, I don't know, experiential. HP had stuff. There were some other brands that were present in there. It sort of shows that you have to not be in those traditional sort of
spaces.
And the funny thing is, like, HP, who would usually have a billboard outside on the highway, have the space. But, like, ASAP Rocky or Post Malone are promoting their albums on billboards on the way to, because, you know, that's where we're all, you know, and that's a really interesting way to market an album because, you know, everyone's on a bus.
But, yeah.
You know, anyway, it was a 3-hour bus drive. From
LA
to Palm Springs,
three and a half hours.
That's a long time.
Crazy.
We went on a Greyhound. To people's heroin addiction stories.
Oh my god! Are you serious?
It was a Greyhound bus at the most dingy LA sort of rundown, crazy thing. We're like, cool, this is our ticket, cool. They're like, no, the bus is late, everyone's delayed. But we just like sneaked on a bus that was one of the stops that were going to be sort of Indio. All right, which cool. is crazy, yeah.
And then just to divert a little bit from Coachella, let's talk about what we pulled you away from, because we've tried to make this thing happen for the past couple of weeks between our schedules and your schedules, and I tried to get a pre-record yesterday that wasn't working. What did we pull you away from?
Craziness. Absolute craziness at Grid. We're doing some great stuff at the moment.
Stop saying Grid.
Huh? Stop saying Grid. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, that's what we actually came away from. We were just reviewing stuff and getting stuff done. It's, like, it's a big week in general.
Anything exciting in the pipeline that we should look out for? Or you can't talk about it yet?
No. Well, actually, the Hope Joanna campaign just launched.
Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Do you want to talk about it? Well,
you have more.
Another plug.
So Hope Joanna is sort of, or was sort of, a call from, I think it was the BLSA, which is the business leadership, to sort of create a uplifting campaign that sort of uplifts the nation. You'll see it's unbranded. It's it's just a reminder that South Africa is amazing. Yeah. We've gone through hard times. We've achieved some great things, and it's basically a recap.
Is this the one that has those street poles with, like, you must smile a little bit more? Is it that one?
No.
Is it something else? Is that different? Okay.
That's a nice one, though. I still don't know who. Do you guys know who did it?
No one knows. I still don't know who did that.
Apparently, it's an interesting.
I heard it's a guy from Cape Town who did it out of pocket and
out of his own pocket.
The legend
I
hear.
Okay. That's a nice story to tell.
That's a nice story to tell, right?
That is.
It's probably from some agency.
Do you
tell us who.
Okay,
you know, SMS too.
We're seeing a lot more work that's not being like brand centered or not peddling a product per se, but it's actually trying to connect with people.
Yeah.
Do you think the trend is something that's going to grow, or why do you think the trend is happening?
I think there is a big push towards kind of humanizing brands. Like, people don't give a shit about brands who go, look at my brand, advertising billboard magazine anymore. They want, people want experiences, and they want specific customer experiences. So, like, the H&M controversy after controversy so far, like, there wasn't a human element to it. They acted as a brand. And
as a business.
As a business.
As a global business.
And a brand is not that anymore. Like, you can't do that anymore, and you can't act in that traditional sense anymore.
Right.
So the smarter brands will try and make the connection to the people, because people not necessarily buy into the brand or product, but they buy into a certain way of thinking, lifestyle type.
Yeah. If you buy into the kind of, like, I don't want to say the ethos, but if you buy into the approach and the human aspect of it, then I think we'll be more successful.
And how do you bring that, both of you could answer this question, how do you bring that into your design work? Mm-hmm. Do you just make some cool shit, or at the back of your head there's
it really starts with sort of a human-centered strategy or need to, I don't know, sell stuff or make stuff beautiful, make stuff better, make stuff, you know, more accessible. For brand, I mean, a brand doesn't really work if it doesn't interact or engage with people. I think you know, our branding sort of thing, it really starts with human insights and strategy based on insights that we all come up with, like that WhatsApp group, for example. And it really starts from there. I mean,
okay, so let me pose a weird question. No, it's not really weird, but, like, both of your designers, could you tell us about how you, or your, both your processes respectively, how do you approach get a brief, and how you do it? Just want to find out.
Dude, me, get in the morning, have coffee, open my Hypebeast tabs and my Behance, and just always looking at sort of good design. We get a brief, sort of unpack that brief, chat about that brief, and really just, for me, get exploring. I like working and designing, thinking and designing at the same time. So it's like open Illustrator, write out the words, see what it looks like, really focusing on the strategy and conceptually what we're trying to do with the...
I kind of do the same. I'm a bit more traditional. Like, I'll go and research the whole thing and do the etymology and look at the thesaurus and see what kind of sparks something. But for the most part as well, I mean, I immerse myself in that world. So if we're doing alcohol packaging, I'll go look at local best practice, global best practice. And then I'll look outside that and see what there is as well. So to kind of draw influence from that. So when I was at Yellowwood way, way back in the day,
are you counting this?
There's a quote here. If we should put out, I get fine. But I know Sasha's going to pick up the fine.
So when I was there, working under Richard Stone, we were busy with pie packaging. And we all came with kind of like the traditional pie packaging. And Richard looked at all of it and went, if you were to design the pie pack,
yeah,
as a vodka label, what would that look like? And like that kind of stuck with me. So if you're looking if you're looking at an alcohol label
from a different context,
exactly. Like how would you design this if it was a bread?
Yeah.
So that kind of trying to put those curveballs into my process for myself the whole time as well.
Which is one of the cool things about design as well. You become an expert on pies, or if I'm designing credit cards, I'm like, now I'm a credit card expert on the tech that goes into it. You know what I mean? And that's nice about it is you can become experts on beers,
depending on the brief you get.
Yeah.
And basically, hopefully, no two briefs are exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, we do get to work on a lot of great stuff, and there's stuff in between that's cool and that we need to do to get done, but mostly we get to work on big cool stuff, which is fun.
Cool stuff.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? Jeez, god damn, I've been quiet over here. Anyway, I just want to know, like, what piece of design, and I mean, like, when I think about design, I'm not just thinking about brands or whatever, but from a holistic perspective, from architecture, what is it that influences you, or what would you say this is the best piece of design that I've seen, and why?
For me, it's the out of the norm stuff that drive me now. Like, I used to, I still like the classics, I still like the Lublin type design, all that. But if I look at like Zaha Hadid's buildings, like, that to me inspires me design wise.
Right.
Saw the Disney opera,
concert hall.
The Frank Gehry design, and like, that alone was this moment of like inspiration and overwhelming feeling. Then we went to Mexico and we saw these cathedrals, so we saw these classical things, and from all of that you kind of draw a little bit and try and infuse that in your design. So I like the unexpected, unconventional things, and try and take from that.
Nice.
Really tough question. I'm like still thinking about it.
Okay, top three. Something that just popped into mind.
Honestly, it's a combination of things. But to Eshe's point, I think like iconic architecture, product design, all these sorts of things. I mean, I think designing something like a Jordan 1 in 1985 is important because it lasted that long. Band or whatever. There's a new show coming out about it. It's gonna be well. But it's like longevity, I think, over those years that makes design important. I think like a Miss Van der Rohe chair, for example, is important because it's lasted that long.
Right.
And is that iconic. Yeah. So, and I think going back to the process thing, it's like I find most of my references or inspirations from product design, fashion design, industrial design. You never really look at a logo site to get inspiration on a logo. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't look at what exists.
Yeah.
You know, to try and inspire you to.
No, exactly. Because that's when stuff becomes iterative, or you start doing stuff that's too much the same. You know.
Okay. So I take it both of you are both award-winning designers, correct?
Not yet.
No. Okay. Cool. So if you had to tell like a young boy coming out of UJ, studied the same thing. What are some of the things you would tell him about their approach to design, especially in the workplace? Because I suppose there's a difference between being at school and now
having to apply yourself.
This applies to both of you.
It's really about, I think, wanting to be good as well. Just starting off on that basis, like, do you want to be a good designer? Do you want to? And if that's important to you, I think it's about looking at the right references, constantly being inspired and
when
stuff.
When you say right references, are there wrong references?
There's no wrong references. That's a
reference for the process.
Based on your process. I mean, if you're always looking at good stuff or nice things or interesting things, it can inform your process in a sort of good way. But I mean, coming into the industry, it's like you expect to know a lot of the stuff that you're going to be working on when you get out of university, right? For me, university teaches you
technique,
software, you know, the basis of how to think and sort of apply design onto multiple sort of forms, I think. And depending on the agency that you're at, it's really based on that process, and you get thrown into the deep end. You learn very quickly. I mean, I was just talking and that's a really good thing. You can't get out of varsity and expect to know everything. I think every agency is different as well, and I think it's the role you get put into that sort of mold you for the designer that you actually want to be.
No, for me, like, I think one thing that I tell almost every intern or junior that comes through our doors is that design is one of those fields. Like, I've got friends who are lawyers and friends who are accountants, and that you can kind of do because you do it by the book. So you don't have to love it to do it. Design, you have to love it. Like, you work 15 hours a day, you work weekends, you work public holidays. people are literally critting your creative spirit.
Yeah, get it bombed.
Like, you know, people look at the work that you've put in for 2 weeks, night and day, and they go, oh, this is shit.
So, and you have to start again.
And so because of that, like, you can't just like design. Like, if you just like design, you get into design because, oh, I like drawing. It's not for you.
No, yeah.
You have to passionately love it because this does become your life. So, yeah, and process-wise, I think... what I like to see from people younger than me, like, or see from Wadey and people like that, is
how much younger than you?
No, don't ask
him. He's such an old man.
He's speaking like he's such an old man. Yeah,
I'm 32. He's 24. That's
32, like, dude.
Ancient
damn. Both of you
wouldn't even say.
Put together. Yeah, my rugged good looks.
Of course.
That's what you think.
Ouch.
What I like,
shots fired.
What I like about them is they bring something new to the table, like. Again, in my day, it used to be like you studied a design. You are now in branding, and that's what you do.
Yep.
Like, other people will handle the rest. Now it's kind of expected, like, if you come to the industry, not that you must know everything, but that you must at least dabble.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
be a multifaceted. Don't. It's not like more. There's no, don't special, as much as you might have a speciality,
yes,
but just know a little bit about everything else so that you, exactly, it gives you greater understanding, yeah, about the bigger picture.
So the juniors come in and, like, they bring this wide field of things that I never even thought about.
Or existed.
Or existed. And, like, that's what I kind of feel like, Nathan always says, scare me. And
yeah,
that's what I like to see as well. Like, if someone comes in and goes, this is how we're going, well, this is how I think we can do it, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't even know that existed.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
talk me through it. So yeah, that's what I look for.
And I was about to say SJ, but I also think, like, your background in law, I don't know what kind of influence it brings onto your work as well, in terms of, like, structure or informing your process.
Arguments.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Work. Like, arguments, selling work, maybe?
Yeah.
It worked very well for those arguments and selling work, but I definitely did take something from that. So that did give me a bit more of a logical, kind of rational side.
Mm.
So I'll be the guy who sits there and makes the logo like 5% bigger, 5% bigger, 5% bigger, and then look at them and, like, okay, that one is the right one, but now let's see if we change the color with, like, 5 cyan, 5 cyan, 5 cyan. So
okay, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, so that kind of a logical step by step thing, I think I've taken from the law to sit and break it apart and find the core problem of it.
Okay, that's an interesting thing.
All right. Would you think that gives you an edge? Because if you're the sum total of your experiences, you having that law background or study that, does it give you an edge? Do you think it gives you an edge, or it just gives you another dimension, another way of looking at things?
I think it just gives another dimension of looking at it. I think the edge comes in with where our industry is going, with all the new tech and all that, like, that knowledge of all the things that we spoke about earlier. I think that gives you the edge.
Yep.
And in my case, it just gives a different kind of take on things, in a bit of a different dimension.
All right.
That I try and instill as well.
You work for different agencies, right? Mm. All right, cool. How do you find the difference between all the different agencies, without mentioning names and where you are? Do you think some work better, or have you been in places where there's a different way of addressing things or doing things?
Yeah, almost every agency I've been has been completely different. So I've been at 1, 2, 3, 4, and then interned at 5. So 5 agencies.
Yep.
And not one of them is the same. So this agency will use job bags, that one won't. This agency will send us for brainstorm days, that one doesn't. So
what set of, I don't know, let's say conditions would make a designer thrive? What things need to be in place? Are there agencies where they don't value the design thing? It's more about the above the line, let's do big TV. Mm. Or there's other agencies that value and understand that design plays in a very important role.
I think the important thing for any agency or for any designer is to find a place that encourages and supports your talent. So if you do get pushed into other directions, that's fine, but you need to be encouraged, and you need to be pushed, and you need that acknowledgement of your talent. So find a place that will help you grow, and you know within a week whether this place is for you, whether
it's not
you're
for
on the
you.
Right draw. Yeah.
Can I also speak about sort of businesses aligning to your passion, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of other passions that are, you know.
Yeah, which I wanted to get into. So outside of what we do for work,
what
feeds your soul, both of you? Like, what do you do?
So for me, it's always been doing more than one thing, or trying to do more than one thing. I find, you know, all our favorite people, like Virgil or Donald Glover,
Virgil.
Virgil.
Donald Glover. Virgil, Donald Glover, Ronnie Feig, all these guys are doing more than one thing and excelling at more than one thing, you know. And I think if you are in an environment where you can excel, like Grit doesn't, it's not like, oh wait, you can't do, you know, you that stuff, that other stuff that you're doing. And like we're doing, we sort of started a company, me and two mates from Grit. Plug.
He's plugged.
And we're sort of experimenting with stuff and doing some fun things. We just did these t-shirts, the 0-1-1 t-shirts, as like,
can I get one?
Yeah, for sure. I got one with the coffee.
Alright, cool.
What about me?
And for you.
Asking you shall be given.
Alright, I have a question.
Yep.
From Grant. He says, do you guys ever get above the line envy?
Yes.
You know, we actually work on a lot. Like, literally what I left now is basically some above the line stuff that is basically filtered through from a bigger brand idea or brand identity thing. We're sort of doing a lot of advertising now, a lot of experiential design now, a lot of 3D spaces, that sort of fun thing. Right. So I don't get envy of it. We do a bit of it.
Yeah, because Grit is now moving beyond just branding. Grit is Grit's goal within the next year.
Who wants to work at Grit? Who works at Grit?
Going forward, every time someone says Grit,
someone got a drink. Pay me. Give me
a bottle of tequila. Let's make it simple, because the show believes very much in tequila.
Yeah,
I'm down with that.
Yeah, good tequila.
That's how I met Chizza, anyway. We were at Grit. Don't worry, I'll send Nate the check. Nate, coming through.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. And it's not just that's doing it. It's I think most agencies should be going in that direction of not necessarily like a jack of all trades, but if you can offer specialities in different directions, I think that's the future. Like the total integration of an agency is where it's going.
And it's about owning the value chain, right? If someone came to value chain,
someone's been reading.
I'm not going to say where though, but it's the more you can offer a company, I think, from one point of view or one mindset, it's beneficial to the company and the brand agency, or, you know, for example.
AJ, you didn't tell us what you do outside of work in your full spare time. Do you have a tangent?
Everyone's got something.
Outside of work, I work.
Yeah.
I used to do rock climbing. Want to get back into that. I enjoy movies, love movies. So generally, when I'm at home from work, I'll put on a movie, like try and do a movie.
It's the last good thing you saw.
Yeah, I was about to say series, movies.
The last good series I saw was Happy on Netflix. Fucking amazing.
Infinity I saw the War. First episode. It looks very good. It's very dope. Cool. Yeah.
And the last good movie I saw,
Wakanda.
I didn't even watch that.
Damn you.
What's get wrong with you? Please.
Yes, okay, the show's over.
What's wrong with you?
I missed that one. We watched Infinity War, right?
Yeah. But how did you watch Infinity War? Black Panther?
Yeah, I missed Black Panther.
Oh, man. This is
a tribunal.
Please,
we want to know. We want to know.
It's over.
Sorry, guys.
This. Sasha, you didn't tell me about this.
And I was doing so well.
Yeah, Infinity War is insane. That was like the last thing I saw. I watched actually 3 times in cinema.
3 times in a row?
Not back to back, but like over this like one weekend. It was when it was a public holiday, that long weekend.
Oh, okay.
I went on the like Saturday and Wednesday, and then again the next weekend.
Jeez, that good?
I thought it was that good. I mean,
I want to see it. Okay, I want to see it.
I'm convinced.
My new favorite movie is coming out this week, though.
Which one?
Deadpool 2.
Oh yeah, I like Deadpool. I like dysfunctional characters.
I didn't see that.
Why?
I really
I'm
didn't.
Out.
Okay.
I'm out.
It's not your studio, SJ.
Alright, just one thing. I would like people to WhatsApp the studio.
Yes.
If they have any questions for SJ and Wade, we're on 079-748-2090. So if
079-748-2090.
Yeah. Right, cool. So if we get any questions, we're gonna be asking you.
Perfect.
Anything else that you guys wanna share? Where are you going next? What is the thing that you want to be? What do you see yourself as the next great designer or whatever? Oh, wow. Where are we going with Wade?
Again, I think I go back to wanting to do a lot of different things, having my hand in a lot of different stuff, being great at a few things. Definitely want to push my sort of brand knowledge and keep learning about brand and design, getting really good at that. And then see what's happening in fashion maybe, or furniture, or
nice.
Nothing too specific, but yeah.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, I share roughly the same dream most of us do.
Yeah, it's not like,
is it a design dream?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
also like just to branch out and kind of expand my offering, go beyond branding, try and learn a bit more about the different media. Like social media to me is, I only got onto Instagram when we were in America.
And you won.
It's like, dude, what's the story, bro? Like, why can't I put a caption on it? It's like, what is it?
I wanted to start a hashtag called hashtag help me millennial. Yeah.
Too long.
I don't know these things. Like people talk about Snapchat, I'm like, isn't that for dick pics? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So I want to expand that offering and kind of grow what I understand about the industry, and also like branch out into different things, fashion, not textiles, like ceramics and things like that. Like,
nice. Yeah. Do you, as well, sorry guys. Do you guys have a signature style? That's what I wanted to come to. And then I'm going to go into that controversial thing.
No, before we go into that. Oh my God. How important has it been? I don't know if you both of you had like someone to look after you when you entered an agency, almost like a mentor, someone just to say like, let me teach you the ropes, or just throw in a good word here and there. Have you both had that type of experience?
I definitely
have. And how important is it?
Very. Are we allowed to say names or no?
No, you can't. Because he was doing people. A great thing. That's the kind of man you can plug.
Got you. All right. When I started at Grid, Paul Hinge. Okay, sorry, no.
Paul Hinge.
I only work at one place, so
like, so we all know.
Okay, cool. Got you. We really were molded into great designers and taught by Paul, who is still our ECD at Grid. He literally taught me about paragraph styles and things he didn't learn. Super patient with me, and really allowed me to, do well. For example, put me on good jobs, and I do consider him and Nate sort of my mentors. And really, it was about him having the time to be able to do that. And you know how it is in agencies, super fast paced, super, next deadline sort of thing. I think the worry is now in general with everyone being so busy, I think juniors don't actually get that. That is like, was the most important thing, is me being able to learn in sort of a free space and be like, don't do that. That's like not good.
I have someone to tap into that will share their knowledge.
Yeah. It's like simple things like flows of presentations and, we'd print out everything, put it on the floor, and he'd like, take that out. So.
Yeah, it's like stupid little things. For me, like, I've had...
You've been at five agencies.
Yeah. Funny enough, at each of one I did have a mentor, and I learned something different from each of them. So Richard Stone was my first ECD, and like we still talk and we still see each other quite often. Yep. So I learned a lot from him, and luckily I started there because that was still like a very chilled agency, and Rick is like the coolest chilled guy, so it was a nice
shout
intro
out Rick.
To shout out Rick. So there was a very cool intro into the industry. Then at my second agency, shall remain nameless.
I want to know now.
What happened?
The ECD there, Sean taught me how to work bloody fast, and taught me, learned a lot of things from him.
Why won't you mention the agency? Oh, no, like a bit of
because you're going to charge me a bottle of tequila.
Is it
the same agency?
No.
Okay, cool.
That was at X Factor.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's
fine. Sean taught me how to work very fast and spot the solution a lot quicker. At every agency, I learned something different. Like at Grid now, Nate and Paulie, like, I see them both as great mentors, and Nate pushes you to get the best out of you. So every place I've been, I've taken a little bit from the ECD there and worked it into my offering.
All right, cool. And then... I get that that's just your direct person that you work with in an agency, but do you also have mentors that just give you life advice, and how important do you think that is? Because we all know that it doesn't really exist, this work-life balance in an agency, but is there someone else that just helps you along when you're feeling down, hating your job, want to strangle that same ECD?
I think where we are now, it's quite an open culture. So we do get to talk to our ECDs about, I've got a problem at home, shit's going a bit bad, I'm having a bad time. So they are open to it.
Do you think that's very important for someone to have, especially in this highly pressurized?
So I mean, for me, it's my dad and my mom and all my creative family, I suppose.
Yeah, your whole creative family.
I think
were destined to be the number one.
I know, right?
If you didn't get it right, that would be a problem.
Like, why did I send you to Boston? You can't see my slapping hand movements. I think it's important to speak to people, and it does get pressured, and it is quite hard, I think, especially in a very high-paced sort of environment. But I have my friends and my family and yeah.
Okay, cool. And then would someone be able to just help hit you up and just ask some advice or whatever? Mm-hmm. Or do you find yourself now starting to mentor some other people that are coming to the agency? Or do you treat them like shit, like skivvies?
No.
Or is it a bit of both?
That's old school. I don't ask that anymore.
No, that's why we're here. That's why we're having the chat.
Right.
I think, and it was something we touched on earlier, but when new people come in, juniors come in, it's important that they know the value they add as well. So yeah, fresh ideas, that sort of stuff. It's like Grid knows what an intern is. You know, our creative directors don't expect you to be doing like this next high level crazy stuff. But you know, you do what you can do, and you learn. Yeah, you learn very quickly. And it really, like, I have time or try to make time to help our juniors, because I was helped like the most,
trying to
return the sort of favor, I suppose,
but pass it forward.
Yeah.
And if there were some cautionary tales you could tell,
don't drink tequila.
Tequila is the best. A budding designer, what would you say to someone wants to get it? I know initially you said that, like, if you just like drawing, this is not for you. You really need to be passionate about it. But what would you tell someone who's thinking about getting into design? They like it, but they don't know what. Let's say, stupid question, they say, I know I like it a lot, but I'm not sure if I'm passionate. How do I know if I'm passionate? And say, I'm in high school at this time, I'm listening to this, or I'm doing my first year and I'm not sure if I'm passionate. I know I dig it a lot. What would you say to that kid?
I'd say go and shadow. Like, take your holiday and your 3-week lovely school holiday.
Isn't the whole year a holiday?
And go to an agency. Go and see what it's about. Like, a lot of people, and I know I was one of them, I didn't know what to expect walking into an agency. Yeah. And I was at the first agency for four and a bit years.
Yeah.
And when I walked into the next agency, I was like, holy shit, this is completely different.
Mm.
So take your holidays. Take, you know, a day. Go and see how an agency operates. Come and see what we do. I mean, we're very open to it. We'd gladly set aside a couple of hours for you to.
And kids do come. Like, a lot of kids actually do come to.
They
come to the agency and I like just looked at Chet. They're like, oh damn, I'm gonna say. They do come, and it's really. I think if you send anyone you know an email or go on the website and say, hey, I'd like to come shadow, or I'd like to intern for a week, or you know.
And we've seen it often. Like, I say kids, when youngsters come in and they spend 3 months there, 2 months there. They either at the end of those 2-3 months go, this is definitely not for me, or holy shit, something has sparked.
I need more punishment.
And you know, I mean, when I went into the law, within the first month, I knew.
The law.
I knew it's not for me.
Within the first month?
Within the first month. It took you two
more years to let go.
Well, it took my dad 2 more years.
You want to be cut off?
Yeah, so the design, when I went into design, my first week, I knew, like,
this is my shit. Right. Yeah.
And once you get into the industry, once you get into the agencies, an agency can also make or break, you know, how you view the industry.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of youngsters who came in and were just destroyed because how dare you crit my beautiful art piece that I spent a week on. I'm like, my sweet son child.
You need to go,
the ego needs to go.
Yeah.
You're so new news.
Oh, shame. But yeah, no, spend some time in the industry. Go and talk to the Oaks. I mean, for one, if someone emails me and asks me questions or phones me and like, can I chat to you? I'm open. Okay, talk to me.
Are you the same? You're keeping quiet on this.
No, I'm the same. 100%.
Right. I just wanted to make that clear.
I'm exactly the same. Come chat, do the whole thing. We always have people at.
And then any trends or things you've identified in the design work, or the work that's coming out right now? Anything
that
you're
fresh? What's hot?
It's
kind of
a movement towards.
Like Yanni and I were speaking the other day. And there's kind of a trend towards like undesigning that I found.
Unbranding, undesigning.
Yeah, it's like unbranding, undesigning.
Living, basically.
So everybody's conforming. So everybody's conforming to being a non-conformist at the same time.
Let's all be different together.
Yes.
it is different. I mean, what am I saying? The main trends, I think, is just fit for purpose sort of trends. Like, I can design a non-fancy logo for myself because that suits my personality, for example. You know, if we did go with this unbrand sort of
you know, Helvetica all down the line that sort of poster for F&B. It's not going to work. You know what I mean? It's fit for
another
purpose.
Plug.
It's fit sort of for purpose and really based on the brief and the strategy and those sorts of things. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more brands working together. I think collab is an important thing in general.
Yeah, collaboration.
A lot more experiential stuff.
Yeah.
And across the board, right? Across sectors, even.
Exactly.
That's what I'm seeing as well.
It is going to be across sort of, oh, you're good at that, I'm good at this, you're good at that. Like, oh, cool, I know this client, like, let's all do that.
So the power of collaboration, everybody's talking about that.
Yeah.
Any examples that you'd like to just think that the collaboration was unexpected and worked so very well?
Supreme. Everything's supreme.
Everything's supreme since day one, yeah. Outside, more something more current?
A good collab.
Excluding your shoes?
Excluding my shoes.
Yeah. Excluding what you're wearing, basically.
What are you thinking about?
Only thing coming to mind is Off-White and Supreme at the moment.
So basically, his outfit. Another plug.
I would like to
what's on
speak
trend?
About it is a big age company, sort of like Nike, giving a creator who's big, but not like that big. I suppose free reign is something that's important, right? It's organizations sort of recognizing the next and identifying the next sort of thing that's going to pop off,
right.
And it's a lot easier to align yourself with something than like
what do you
them
think
trying
of,
to make it up themselves.
What do you think of the Nike Air Max, the Sean Witherspoon?
I absolutely love it.
I love it
and I couldn't get it. My mate has it and he's like so savage about
see,
it.
See, that type of collaboration.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was a call out by a big brand to
exactly
designers
exactly.
Like, yo, come up and he got voted and he won and it's a dope shoe.
Exactly. And it is about recognizing what's coming, what's up and coming. Like Sean Witherspoon, for example, has a very good understanding of vintage clothing, right?
Yeah.
Which is a big
second
thing, I suppose.
What's his store called? Second time around?
Round two.
Round two.
Actually,
I mean,
with,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, did
crazy
you go?
Stuff. I did go, yeah.
Did you cop anything?
No, we went there like four times.
I went there a few times.
Did you buy anything?
I just bought cameras.
Cameras? Yeah. Oh, you buddy photographer. Hey.
Hobby.
Are you on Instagram? Should we follow you?
I am now.
Yeah. Oh, look at the time. Once again, the hour's flown past. Any final thing? Oh, yeah, we wanted to touch on that subject quickly.
Before we're for the controversial
It's not... Well,
it is so pretty
scared.
Controversial.
Okay,
we can
about
make
it
controversial.
Speak about it. Okay, cool. So, a week ago, right?
So, was let me just do a disclaimer before we get into it. It was 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago. So, the show, Hills, no. Allegiances or loyalties, we're just reporting on a matter that happened in the Twitter streets.
We're trying to be objective as possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Staying Goliath, David Shabalala, right?
Yeah, David
has
Shabalala.
A specific look and feel about what he does, right? He designs these, what is it, typography kind of things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Type treatment, like.
And he's got a particular style.
Mm-hmm.
But then another agency took his style and.
You see, bit already
it,
making basically. Took his style.
Oh, no, but bit his style.
Yeah.
This do you know what I mean?
Slaying Goliath, the illustrator.
Yeah,
like,
does the with
like,
the person in
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I know him.
Yeah.
I don't know which agency.
Work.
I have seen his work. I'm very familiar
with
so
his someone work. Else did this.
Yes, I did see this.
You did.
I thought he did it, though.
Oh,
did he do it?
No, it's
no.
not. That's
oh.
the whole thing. That's why
oh, okay,
the whole Twitter
okay,
streets
okay.
were blowing up about this.
So what was the brand that...
It was just another agency. They were doing... Because Sam Zima had passed away.
Okay.
And now
so
the Twitter tweets,
to...
there was a lot of people saying like he's got no copyright on the thing, it's a style, whatever. Mm. What's your take on that? Because like you said, most people keep saying that when they saw it, they thought
it was
his.
Him.
Yeah.
I think he posted it as well. He was probably talking about how...
He was talking about it. So especially you're the better guys to answer this question about design.
I think it goes straight back to the collab examples.
Yeah, but this was not a collab. So
I think you should be, if you are, and especially as agencies, you should be.
How do you protect
reaching
yourself,
out
basically?
To
but you, I think even the style, you can't, I don't know, maybe designers can tell me, especially you with the low background, there's no particular style that you can claim its own, because it's not something, it's not a, I don't think it's like a, can you trademark a style, a way of doing things?
Quick, 2 seconds, because we have to wrap up now.
Cool.
I
don't think you can. I mean, as an illustrator, you spend a long time trying to build your look and your style.
Well,
you know? It would be very easy for someone with more means or whatever to just come in and take it. Right?
Yeah.
It's about how they feel about how the agency feels about it, and I think they should be giving credit or at least using that person's
recognition that inspired by type thing, whatever.
Okay, all cool. Right. That same court case, I'll be very quick. That Shepard Fairyhead when he did the Obama post.
Yeah.
And like there was a great story about it. Is the photograph copyrighted if you're applying your own style?
Yeah.
I can't even remember what the outcome was, man. Like, that was a massive thing against Shepard Fairey, and he said, sorry, this is my style. And I went, so what? It's based off this photograph. So,
yeah. All right, cool.
All right,
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It flew. Thank you for coming through. Oh, I need to send a shout out to Masego at Grid.
Yeah.
What's up?
Masego.
Shout out to you guys. Any handles? When people want to reach you, how do they reach you on social media?
Or check out your stuff.
Wade Mansami on Instagram at WADEMO.
And AJ, you're not sure right now.
What's mine? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's just SJ Nordia or SJ.Nordia.
Okay, cool.
Not the writer. You'll see there's another one.
Yeah.
The guy with all the skull pictures. That's me. All
right, cool.
Follow Grid Worldwide.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you for coming through. Thank you, Sasha. Cool.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you, Chetza. Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
Cool.
All right.
All right, then. Thanks.
This is CliffCentral.com.